Ace Podcast.
Hi, this is Alex M.
And this is Morgan S.
And you're listening to Coming Clean Podcast with Sam and Marty. Can I get down like
this? This is Coming Clean Podcast.
With Sam and Marty.
On this episode of the Coming Clean Podcast, it's a season one finale of The Hill, so we're talking dream jobs, LC's decisions, trivia, MVP, everything, much more. Resident Emo, let's go! Hello, welcome, happy Friday, happy season one finale of The Hills. This is the Coming Clean Podcast, the retrospective podcast about MTV's iconic shows Laguna Beach, but right now we are talking about The Hills. Let me introduce myself. I am the president of the Lonely Girl 15 fan club, aka the boy who chugs LaCroix, but only the citrus kinds, because tastes like fruit farts, but coconut's cool too. AKA the writer of Sins, Not Tragedies. AKA Lin-Manuel Miranda Cosgrove. AKA the Fallout Man. So ladies, watch out, because I'm known to drop a heart and break a name. But don't worry, I'm very nice. But you know me best as the bro that runs the show. My name is Marty, and with me, as always, is the man with the face of a Hollywood lead, but he can't read, a.k.a. Baby Shiloh and Baby Suri's biological father, a.k.a. Sammy California, a.k.a. Helen of Troy Bolton, so you gotta get your head in the game. He is larger than life, a.k.a. the Backstreet Man. Don't call him T-Mobile, because he's not my sidekick. If you want to call him Mr. T, that's cool. But he's also Mr. Visually Rewarding. It's Sam.
It's a welcome to be here. And I hope everybody's head is in the game.
Season finale, not of the podcast, but of The Hills. How about that?
We made it through season one. Mm-hmm. Big expectations for the rest of the seasons. And I think it's certainly going to live up to the hype.
Oh, preview there of some of our season recaps. But as always, we're going to have to start off with some headlines.
The Hills headlines.
Any headlines coming from The Hills cast?
Audrina is divorcing her husband.
Right up. She just wanted the baby.
I think they've been dating 8 years. I don't know how long they've been married, but they've just recently filed for divorce.
Is this the motorcycle dude?
Not Justin Bobby.
No,
he might be a hockey player.
Oh.
But they do have a kid involved, so hopefully things can get all settled and figured out. He's a bicyclist.
Oh. Yeah.
Brisbane, Australia.
Brisbane. Shouts to Australia. Shouts to Brisbane, even though you screwed Manny Pacquiao. Not shout out to Manny Pacquiao, because he's a homophobe.
He's washed up.
Yeah, guy's washed. Question.
Okay.
Who do you think's paying the child support?
It's definitely going to be him.
Oh. I don't know. Audrina making that New York
money.
One money. Yeah.
Whatever.
Or NBC Late Night.
Yeah.
And not like late night. It's like late night as in like after Carson Daly late night, like 3 a.m.
Question is, does she make more than Sandy Kenyon?
I don't think so. I bet
if you've
make...
been in a New York cab, you'll know who Sandy Kenyon is.
Hey, when I go to New York, we're going to have a special edition of Talk Stoop. Shout out to Talk Stoop.
Too bad I don't have a stoop.
Talk Step.
More like sitting on like the sidewalk, Talk Curb.
New podcast, Talk Curb.
Oh, not copy, not infringement on Curb Your Enthusiasm at all.
No, not at all. It's going to be loud as hell, though. All the background noise. You thought the bus sounds in my neighborhood are bad. Now, wait till I record on the street.
Yeah, we're going to have to record it late night.
Yeah. Or unless you want to hear, like, you know, the sights and sound of the locals. Hear some rappers. Some all anything. That good stuff. Speaking of failed rappers, we also have our Siesta Key Live Reactions podcast happening every Monday nights. It's getting spicy on the Twitters, Sam.
Yeah, I think I've been causing problems. I'm sorry, just going kayfabe. Can only state facts from what I've seen. We are not harmful to anybody's egos.
Yes, this is for entertainment only. Don't take anything personally because we don't know you personally.
And we cannot take any personal attacks.
But shouts to Deb, you know, Mama Deb, the mama of the podcast.
Always rapping.
Yes, so shouts to you, you know, good people, good friend of the show. And
I have one more bit of news.
Oh, all right. Well, let's just let people know that Siesta Key's wrapping up. Monday nights are going to be free for us. It's going to be watching Teen Mom and maybe some wrestling. But yeah, next Monday is the finale of our Siesta Key Reactions podcast. Will we have a follow-up to that? We will see. But we're just going to do our regular reactions podcast. If we want to do a wrap-up of the show, we'll probably do that next Monday. But we'll pre-record it so that we actually have our thoughts written out. Because otherwise it'll...
It's going to be more eloquent.
Yes. But yeah, we'll make sure the mics work. We're going to make sure that all our thoughts are in line. But yeah, tune in Monday, as always. Live tweet with us, 10/9 Central on MTV. Hot new show, Siesta Key. Hoping for a season 2. Hoping for more interactions with the good people and the cast members who, you know, join us when we live tweet. Some reacting with some smileys, some reacting with some spice. But we take what we can get. And yeah, around 11:45 midnight Eastern is when the reactions podcast comes out. So stay tuned for that on Monday. But Sam, you had one more piece of news?
Just notifying everybody that Spidey could be dropping their child at any moment. as Spencer has said, this week has been too filled with Kardashian news, so he's told his child to hold off for a little bit for a better news week. And so I'm on Twitter waiting for the news, hoping it comes down soon.
Spencer knows how to ride the tabloid fame. You guys, he's a master.
He's a genius.
Oh man! Well, we haven't seen him yet this season, so we got to finish talking about season 1. So maybe we can meet Spencer sooner. So if there's no more headlines, let's head for some highlights.
The Hills highlights.
All right, season 1, episode 10. That's the finale. Sam, what is this one called?
Is called Timing is Everything. No truer fact there.
Yeah, they really tried to go with the time theme here. A little too much, I think.
This whole season?
No, just this episode in particular. I don't know, I think someone thought of the title because of what happened at the end, which we'll get to, but you know, it was a little it felt a little forced. We sort of made fun of sort of the lack of effort in editing at times. This episode seems a little heavy-handed to fit the theme.
Throw some juxtaposition in there.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we'll get into it. I had a couple thoughts. All right. If we're just going kayfabe only.
Yeah, but particularly going non-kayfabe for 2 seconds here. Particularly when timing is not really the forte of this show, because clearly the birthdays and holidays do not line up.
And now we're just all over the place.
Yeah. Okay. Let's start with Elsie and Whitney getting their final assignments as the fall spring interns at Teen Vogue. Any thoughts here? They're going to Fashion Week.
I think this is the big test. It's a kind of sink or swim moment. They've already semi proved themselves. They fought back from their first encounter from the first episode or second episode with the letting in Heidi and their crew in. So they've slowly worked their way back, shown that they can do this. And I think these are the two big last. It's like the final exam.
Right.
They got their test
to get the summer gig, really.
Yep.
Which we'll get to later.
And to see if they make it in almost the fashion world.
Right. What was interesting to me was when Lisa was assigning the responsibilities here to Elsie and Whitney. They have all season long positioned Whitney as the overachiever, you know, the type A good student. And Elsie, she doesn't seem like she's a bad worker necessarily, but the way they cut it when she was assigned to handle the... to pretty much be the assistant of one of their main their VIP editors. They just like focused in on her face looking just a blank stare for like 3 seconds as if she just couldn't process it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Well, I highly doubt that was the actual reaction because Are they definitely like,
all right, Lisa, you can go to your next meeting. We're just going to cut some B-roll with Elsie.
Yeah, they were probably explaining something else that she was like bored of. And then they were like, okay, now say yes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they made her seem like the black sheep of Teen Vogue.
Well, she's a rebel.
She though?
She just keeps having
plans and, you know, not taking her job seriously enough.
I mean, she got that grade point average up. We know she's got a bad streak in her.
Yeah, you know. True. Yeah, it's like the rebellious. It's the opposite of Laguna, where she seemed, outside of that one episode when they discussed her grades, she seemed like the overachiever.
Exactly.
A student.
She's faking it.
Yeah. But I guess you can be, you know, a pleasant person, but not be that good at school.
Then what? I guess then you're just existing.
I mean, not all bad kids are bad at school.
I mean, if you're going to be bad, you might as well go full bad. Am I right?
No, or, you know, shouts to Gangland for the Asian boys. Not shouts out to the Asian
classic
boys.
Classic episode.
We were shook.
We were like, this is the worst of this is all the evils.
They're gangbanging at night, but straight students during the day.
It's like, we can't do anything about these kids. They're too smart.
Yeah, we could punish them because they're the best kids in class. And I like the interns, well, you know, we had to stop going to the game because they're hiding the voice. We had to stop it again because you had to go to college.
It's like, what?
You quit the gang life because you're going to college?
Harvard doesn't have any good gangs, so we had to break up.
I'm just going to join the a cappella choir. Closest thing.
I like robotics.
Oh, man. Hold on 1 second right now because we need a drop somewhere here.
You're just being an ass.
Oh, no, not that one.
I know they're not working. That's why there's hundreds on me right now.
I'm just pressing stuff.
All these are working. All these work.
I never had females in my life that were so crazy.
Oh, here we go, finally.
You're going off track.
Maybe you're the problem.
All right, that was for our Gangland retrospective podcast called hashtag gang gang. Shouts to Jesus and Mero. We love you. Bodega High for life. But where the hell were we? Oh, Elsie being being portrayed as a bad employee.
Yeah. From what I'm seeing, like, now having a new perspective on work and the show and rewatching it, it's like they made Elsie, and like looking back, it's like, oh, Elsie was this unbelievable, like, pure character.
Uh-huh.
And she's not.
No.
I think she gets a little under the pressure.
Decision making was not great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a tough situation. Like, I mean, I personally wouldn't want to, I guess, that role of being like asking some random people who are really aggressive, and like not giving names.
Right. But, So let's talk about that. So, you know, they get assigned. Let's set the stage here. Yeah. Getting back.
We never see Whitney has the after show, setting up the after show. We don't know how that went. So,
right. That's past union hours. No camera crew. So Elsie is handling getting the crew in to the fashion show. I'm forgetting which designer.
Something Nichols? Nicholson or something like that?
Jack Nicholson.
And yeah, Jack Nicholson's golfing wardrobe.
Yeah, and Sunglass Hut. Business proposition, Jack Nicholson. If you're listening, thank you for listening. We got some business plans. Scheming and dreaming. Hashtag scheming and dreaming. We got to pull out all our catchphrases for the finale.
Just drop them all.
Yeah. What had happened was Elsie had the passes for Lisa and one of the editors.
The head editor in New York.
Yes, and turns out there was a third person coming.
Two more coming. Sold out show.
Right, which it's just like you're Vogue, you're in Team Vogue, part of the Condé Nast family, a big player in those things. You should just have like a billion passes on you.
And like that's pretty rude to be like the day of and be like, hey, I just need two more seats in a sold out show.
Right, not even the day of, like a couple of hours before, if that.
This is the problem with giant companies, is that either one, things fall through the cracks, or I don't know, or you think you can like muscle your way around things and like just do whatever you want and people have to like bend the knee to that.
Right.
It's
like they also play the wrong move, because why would Lisa get the intern to get the extra passes when she has no clout, no power, when all she has to do is send one email and be like, we're coming. She probably doesn't even need a pass. She just needs to email them being like, I'm going to be there.
Yeah. And I'm bringing a crew.
Yeah. And it's just bring two more seats, like find two seats.
Well, that's the thing. And then when she had to go to, what's her name? Find
Heidi?
No, Kelly Catrone.
Oh, yeah.
So when she first gets there and like she's like, oh, I just need two more tickets. It's 14 Vogue. Like, one, you should drop Lisa's name. And then two, right. And then Kelly will like push back, which I guess she should have, because if it's a sold out show, it's like right. You can't force people in there. But like, why was she asking for specific names? Like, I guess it's probably a vetting process, right? She's trying to protect people going in.
Because, it could have easily been Heidi and Audrina again.
Yeah, true.
It should have just been, hey, I have this email. First of all, get it in writing. Once Lisa tells you to do it, be like, can I borrow your phone so I can email myself with your email with this instruction so I can just show it and get through? Like, I've done that a million times with, like, higher-powered people in my industry. Like, just email me what you need and we'll get you in.
Yeah, because that's tough going up to like the head person who runs it and be right. Like, I don't know. So they told me to say this.
Right.
I am telling you what they told me. Like, give me a break, but.
Right. But if she, I don't know. Yeah, I guess she just got into the yes man sort of attitude as opposed to actually trying to figure out a solution to the problem. Or maybe she just assumed that, hey, this is like Lisa's request and I can say Teen Vogue and they'll let me into anything. So
yeah, it's tough on your first job, I would say, like kind of knowing what to do, especially like when you work for such a high powered person, you'd think like, oh, just saying the name,
right,
it'll like people would just do things for you.
I don't know, but in your internship, your first internship, you seem to know what you were doing, because
he's a big boy.
Scheming and dreaming, fake it till you
make it.
Obviously, once again, restating, we're rules guys, so that made me uncomfortable, just asking for tickets to a sold-out show. Like, It sold out. Like, there's no tickets.
if Elsie was like, it's sold out, like, not possible, lady. Like, what do you think would happen?
I don't know. Maybe she'd pull, like, the MTV card or something.
The only thing I think is if she told Lisa and been like, hey, this is a sold out show.
Right.
I can't get more tickets. Like, can you just email or like call somebody? I feel like Lisa would have been, oh, yeah, I'll just call and just say the name.
Yeah. Or just call her. Like, what are the names? I'll be like, give me 2 seconds. Oh, well, I guess she said Lisa wasn't answering her phone.
Yeah. She wasn't answering either way. So she had to keep calling, which if you're at a situation, that's pretty stressful.
Right. Yes. Or did she try Blaine? Cause that would have been my second option.
Like, yeah, I don't know where. Yeah. What was Blaine doing? Blaine have a day off. What's he doing?
He's still upset that he wasn't invited to Elsie's birthday. You got any plans?
Blaine, Blaine.
David Blaine. I don't know. LeBron Blaine. That was bad. Nope.
Denied.
Denied.
There it is. But so at the end of the day, able to get in the fashion show.
Yep.
Able to pull it off. All systems go. And we eventually see that Elsie and Whitney both get glorious reviews.
Favorable,
very nice reviews, positive. Whatever. Glorifying.
They got certified fresh from Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. They were 60% rotten.
So that happens. And as a result, well, I guess not as a result, maybe this was lined up before, but they were handsomely rewarded. Whitney getting the nod for a stint as an intern in Teen Vogue New York.
Yep.
And LC getting the illustrious.
The big push.
Yeah. Was it Teen Vogue Paris or just Vogue Paris?
So I think it was Vogue. It must be under whole umbrella.
Right.
Or like a Vogue kind of thing. I think, or it was to work with the lady who came over from New York to
Paris.
Yeah. So I think it was like, must have been their main office was like, oh, you did a good job. Like, you are now tabbed to do Paris, which is a huge deal in the fashion industry. Yep. As Lisa explains, like, Paris is the pinnacle.
Right.
It's high couture. 3 months, like, I've done a 3-month stint with having a significant other early on in a relationship. It is tough, but also, like, you're just in college and you've only been dating a year, so it's like, I don't know, it's very tough. But
Let's put this in perspective. If you're comparing, let's not sell yourself short here.
Okay,
you are like almost 5 years into your tenure and 3 years into your relationship. And you're like an adult with a job and roots.
Yeah, so it was about like 2 years, going to be like 2 years or so.
Yeah, so yeah, that was
and like I've been on my job for like 4 years.
Right, so you were a grown adult with responsibilities and roots wherever you are. And, you know, you took that chance because it was a good opportunity going to Europe, doing some things there.
Yeah, and like...
getting some Nando's. Shouts to Nando's, not a sponsor.
Yeah, great chicken. I didn't smuggle any sauce back.
But
statute of limitations is up.
But comparing to what Elsie had to go through, she was going for a summer.
You're in college. It's like, that's unbelievable to go to abroad. They're probably doing all expenses paid.
Right. Oh, sorry. I forgot my point. This was my point. Why it's not comparable. Because your girlfriend couldn't just drop whatever she was doing and go with you for 3 months to enjoy London. Mm-hmm. Jason, he literally had nothing to drop. All he had to do was buy a ticket and hang out.
It seemed like you already put the money down for this house.
Lemon law. Back out.
Like, I gotta go now.
Yeah. Be like JK.
That's true. It's probably possible. It's also Malibu, so I don't think anybody's...
Right. And also, if he wanted to stay in L.A., again, he had didn't seem to have many responsibilities or school or work. So he could have if even he had the money, the guy's rich, he could have gone every weekend if he wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah. If she had her own, if Elsie had her own hotel, they could have lived together in Paris.
Right. So, yeah, it was just weird. So we're jumping ahead to,
this is basically the whole main thing. So, we should be keep talking about this, right?
Yeah. My other thing, it's not really negative. It's actually pretty positive from Jason's perspective, because he, for the first time, was an adult about things.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. He said all the correct words,
mm-hmm.
As one in a relationship should do, is like, I support you no matter what you do. You're going to make the right choice. This is like, I think I don't know if he actually said it, but it's like, it seems like it was an awesome thing for your career. Like, whatever you choose, I support you. However, the tone wasn't as enthusiastic as one would probably hope.
Right, but also that's Jason, so...
Yeah, so that's all. Yes, very true. That is also Jason, who I don't think has, only if he's like super hammered,
right? But
I couldn't really fault him for that. I was actually, I think, as I'm like reading the side or whatnot, I was trying to see right ahead of what's going on, and I was actually expecting a worse response from him, because I think the description is like, oh, Jason, like when he said, was saying like, oh, what did you choose? Like, what are you going to choose?
Mm-hmm.
There's like, it was like worded that he said it kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say angrily, but you know, like a concerning tone or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Which I don't, I think that's false advertising on my
12 years later.
Because I saw nothing bad about his, right. Or him even asking like what she gonna choose, like they started cuddling and he probably was just like hanging out, so
because I do think we were lashing out at Jason earlier on for something he didn't do, but yeah, I mean, he could have, you know, I think he realized that, hey, that's like cool, I have a place to stay in Paris, I can go like maybe for a week in the summer, still have a cool beach house, throw parties, do whatever I want,
yeah, eat baguettes,
yeah. So yeah, shouts to Jason for being an adult. Is this a turning point? We don't know, because it's the end of season one, so we'll have to wait till next week. We're not taking a break between season one and season two, by the way. We're going straight through. But so yeah, Jason's, you know, just sort of chilling. And we come to, are we at the point with the big decision?
Yeah, I think that's
So in one of the more dramatic scenes and edits that have been done, do you want to paint the picture here? Because there's a lot here in the last minute and a half of the show.
Yeah. So we'll roll back a little bit. When Lisa Love offered the position to Elsie, it seemed like the way she said it was that we're leaving tomorrow or in like 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have to notify, like, let us know ASAP.
Right. Cause probably there's like visa issues and everything that they got to figure out.
Yeah. Well, I think you can go through for 3 months as a visiting visa.
Oh.
And work. Or you don't, I mean, I did it.
Oh.
I had a lot of business meetings.
business time.
Yeah. So, which it was like, as like a big company, you think you would have notified your people who are going to go over there for a long period, like at least a month, like give people to get things in order.
Right.
It seemed like very abrupt, but in the last like minute or so of the scene, we have Lisa waiting at the airport. You kind of see like a little pan shot of like her putting her bags down and like standing with her phone outside waiting. And then we get a similar scene of Elsie
driving down the freeway.
Yeah, packing up and getting ready to go. We don't know what she's packing up for,
mm-hmm.
saying bye to Heidi. And then she starts driving. Is she driving to L.A.? Is she driving to Malibu? We don't know. And then as the scenes go on, we see somebody get out of a limo or a van, see the legs, and then we see Elsie pull into a Malibu house and guess who it is? Whitney gets out of the car and she's going to Paris. Mm-hmm. And Lauren is staying in Malibu with Jason.
Is Jay well? So, yeah, so Elsie decides to stay. So I guess for back in the day when I watched it, it was a lot more filled with suspense. But now that I've been to L.A. and done the drive from, like, the Hollywood area to LAX multiple times, I was like, she's definitely not going to LAX. That's not what the drive looks like. That's no. You just go through all freeway.
She didn't pass through. She didn't pass by a Jack in a Box.
Yeah, it was. I was like, is she going to Burbank? Like, is she taking like, John Wayne?
So nice.
Yeah, like, why is she on like the Pacific Coast Highway?
She got lost.
So yeah, when she was driving and they were showing like the coastline, I was like, there's no way she's going to LAX because unless she was coming from Laguna, that's not the drive.
No, she went to Laguna and then back.
Yeah, just to say bye. So, yeah, so she ends up making the decision to stay.
Which...
Your thoughts?
I think it was a terrible idea. Mm-hmm. I understand her point that it seems like she, you know, as they explained that they've had, her and Jason have had a up and down year and that this could be like a perfect time to connect. But as we kind of stated before, which I didn't think in my first response, but like he could have gone there for at least a month or the 3 months if she had her own hotel room for wherever they're going to put her up. And they would have had a great time. And it would have been the same effect. So I don't see the need. I guess like she would have. So she's not going to be working for the whole summer. She's not working at all.
Right.
So now you're stuck with all this free time with each other, and mm-hmm. I don't think that's a great idea.
Yeah, especially at like that age.
So on the whole is it, yeah, so on the whole is like I don't think that was a good idea, and I don't think giving up such a good career opportunity to go one to experience, like most people don't get that opportunity for right. work.
Right.
And like that's honest truly like a once in a lifetime thing, mm-hmm. and she kind of chose love or her heart over that, and that's tough to argue against, but we kind of laid it out just from an adult perspective. It was like, it's doable.
Yeah. And like, yeah. And again, we're sort of building a straw man here of, you know, Jason already was like, I'll support you, whatever you mm-hmm. want. It's not like, cause I'm thinking if there was pushback from like my partner, if I went out to like some sort of business trip for a long period of time, my counter argument will always just be then you got a free place to stay in Paris.
Mm-hmm.
That's yeah. the counter argument, and the argument is over.
Yeah, like come out for a week or like 2 weeks or something like that. Like yeah. take a vacation.
And I have an expense account and a per diem. So it's, I
yeah, I mean,
really
that's
don't see
what
the issue.
Yeah, that's essentially what I did.
Right. So. Yeah.
I think yeah. Uh-huh. So I think that she was not confident. She's not confident in her relationship with Jason.
Mm-hmm.
That she feels like if she did leave, they would break up.
Uh huh. Fair.
And I think that's just a bad sign to begin with for a relationship.
Agreed.
So we don't know if this is going to actually last the summer or not. So it's just already, I think, foreshadowing or kind of as an adult like showing that this relationship's not going to last.
Yeah, I don't agree with the decision either. I agree with the points you said. It's just a waste. Like I get that she's a semi-celebrity mm-hmm. at that point with the world at her fingertips, but dude, Paris with like you're going to the fashion capital of the world with the fashion magazine of the world, and you're like, I'll hang out with Jason for 3 months instead.
But like, think about it this way: is like, where would her life be if she went?
Yeah.
Like one, she could have possibly still ended up where she is now, like
right.
a best-selling author, clothing line, Kohl's, all this jazz.
Right. Yeah, we're not saying that it didn't work out for her, but at the time, kayfabe only.
Yeah, but like, if she did go, like, she could be running Vogue right now for all we know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know who runs Vogue. Who runs Vogue? Daggett Lady?
I don't know. Mr. and Mrs. Vogue. The Vogue family. But, yeah. Yeah, I can just imagine, like, she could have... That maybe would have hotshotted her career in design, or...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe she would have stayed. Maybe we would have never heard of Lauren Conrad ever again, because there would be no The Hills.
It's baffling.
It would be Le Hills. Le Alps. But yeah, so don't agree with the decision. Obviously, long term, she turned out fine. We all love her. But, you know, just advice to our younger listeners out there. You get an opportunity like that, just tell whoever is holding you back, yo, you get to visit. Just pay for the plane ticket, and you're good to go.
Yeah, there's always a workaround.
Yep. All right, so that's about it for this episode in particular of The Hills, episode 10. Any last thoughts on the episode?
Quick hits. We see a little bit of Heidi and Andrina talking about guys. It seems like they're going to be painting the town red this summer, mm-hmm. and no holding back. And last thought is we got to see Heidi and Lauren saying, like, oh, I'm going to miss you, best friend. It seems like they left on a good place. We'll see how that turns out in season two and later on in the season. But it's pretty funny how, like, they were high on the highs of their, like, relationship with each other.
Right.
And it's going to be interesting to see how fast it probably deteriorates.
Yeah. I'm just trying to anticipate the drama. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
it's like, do we get another season? Like, is it okay? I don't know when the seasons start merging. Yeah.
Yep. But, you know, exciting stuff to look forward to. You know, Audrina we think is going to get a more prominent role. This season was very Elsie and Heidi centric.
Yep.
But we'll see what happens next season. And we got to award some awards. But before that, let me talk about our ace podcast partner, the podcast called Between Us Girls. That's G-U-R-L-Z. Between Us Girls is a fun look at today's hot topics. Join Liz Stone and her best girlfriend, David Allen, as they give you a behind-the-scenes look at pop artists, politicians, and anything else that tickles their fancy. So grab some coffee or a glass of wine or a LaCroix. Enjoy the views and opinions you will only hear at Between Us Girls. Find them at our Ace Podcast channel portal on iTunes or at www.acepodcast.com/between-us-girls. That's G-U-R-L-Z. Again, that's acepodcast.com/between-us-girls with a U and a Z. acepodcast.com/between-us-girls. And now we got to jump in and crown an MVP of the week, the last one for season one. Clap your
hands with me. It's the MVP of the week.
All right, one more person to crown the MVP of the week. So we're talking about just the episode for the purposes of this award. Who gets the MVP of episode 10?
Am I up?
Yep.
I am going to give it to... I'm going to give it to Whitney.
Oh, reasons.
I think she really benefited from Lauren's decision, and she really wanted to go to Paris, and it's good to see that the opportunity go to somebody who, one, deserved it. She did a great summer internship, and then two, she just wanted it more. And I think she's going to get more out of the experience, whereas I could see Elsie, if she was still with Jason, was just moped the whole time and not fully embraced the situation. So I think Whitney made it out on top.
All right. Congrats to Whitney. Is this her first? No, she should have had
one. No, she's won. I think she's won a couple. Right. Even though she wasn't really in the episode, I think she just was more the MVP.
Word. Deserved, I think. But I'm going to give mine to Jason. Because for the reasons that I have stated earlier, he was very much an adult about the situation. He reacted very differently about his birthday earlier on in the season, but he seems to have grown up literally and figuratively. So, you know, props to him. A little softer side to Jason this week, which I appreciated.
Yeah, he was my other option.
All right, well, now we gotta throw some people and open up the gates or the proverbial toilet seat to the zone.
Jabroni, J-A-B-R-O-N-I, X-Y-Z, A-B-C. Oh, it doesn't matter how you spell jabroni.
Okay, you can keep saying that and make yourself think you're a good person, but you're a bad person.
I didn't do anything wrong.
All right, time to enter the zone. Sam, you got your options. Who are you throwing into the jabroni zone?
I am throwing Lisa Love.
Whoa! What? Sorry, I'm looking for my There. I was stalling. Why?
I just don't. I just don't like how she. I feel like she set Lauren up for almost failure by not providing the names of the other people, and I don't think she gave Elsie enough time to actually think about the decision. It could have at this. I think Lisa is the reason why Elsie chose to stay. She did not give her enough time to actually reflect on the situation, and it led to Elsie's downfall.
Whoa,
jabroni.
Lisa Love in the jabroni zone. Who would have thunk it? Ooh, well, I'm going to give her some matching luggage. I am going to throw, as much as it pains me, the star of the show, LC, down the jabroni zone.
Jabroni!
For all the reasons we stated on how dumb the decision to stick around was. So, yeah. Opposite ends, same couple. One MVP, one jabroni. And now we're done with this episode. Now let's talk about, let's retrospect is the right word, on the season as a whole. And, you know, we got a couple of superlatives here. So the first one I want you to crown, and I don't have a drop for this, so let's just go with... Who is your MVP of the season? That sucked.
It's going to have to be... I'm going with Jordan Eubanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sam is full of surprises today, at least from my perspective. What, Jordan, out of nowhere.
I just liked his story arc. He had a beginning. He... at first was the bad boy, kind of annoying guy. Then he really bounded back, like was this great boyfriend for most of it, gave Heidi great gifts, gave her the Bella, the dog. We really thought the relationship really took a turn for the better. And then he had a steep drop off, and then he got taken out of the show, which for me was like a great, climax and resolution. And I like to see that his full character went, you know, a full phase in the season. So, I don't know. That's why.
All right. Interesting choice. But, you know, I support it. I never looked at it that way. Probably because...
I don't think he left. He didn't leave the show as a bad guy. Like, he could have broken it up and never been seen again, and it was like terrible. But we kind of saw him at his lowest moment, and I think that's a little endearing.
All right. So, shouts to Jordan, MVP of season one of The Hills from Sam's perspective. And I'm going to give my MVP of the season to Heidi Montag. She is my MVP of the season, not particularly because of, you know, any individual moment, because she's had her ups and downs, but that is also the reason why I'm giving it to her, because she gave us a lot of ups, a lot of downs. She brought the spice, she brought the drama, she rang the drama meter up to 11. She gave us the most emotional moment of the season with that breakup. And all around, she was a nice little foil to the LC Jason story arc. So I enjoyed that very much. And, you know, just a little cayenne on top of this dish. So congrats to the former power couple, Heidi and Jordan, MVPs of season one. All right, and now we already threw a couple of people in here, but we're going to have to reopen it. 1,000 flushes and we can't get enough. It's the Jabron Zone. Who is the Jabroni of the Cench? And by the Cench, we mean season one.
I think I'm going to give it to LC.
What? I'm just...
Jabroni!
I don't know what's going on right now.
What's Yeah, I think that the luster of Lauren Conrad LC has really faded. I feel like I'm done with her shtick. And we still have like 5 seasons to go, so I'm kind of worried about that. But
wow, that was rude.
Yeah, but like just watching back as an adult, I am more inclined to Heidi. As you're kind of saying, as the MVP of the season, I'm more inclined to that storyline and where that's going to go rather than LC and like her love troubles. Like I just don't think it's necessary. Like you're not in a good, you and Jason are not a good couple. Like just end it. Kayfabe only. So we haven't seen we're on and off for a couple months, but, I don't know. I was just kind of over it.
Damn. I had to
improvise your own drop.
I know, morning show zoo crew just doing sounds of everything. Wow, interesting choice. Not what I expected. But you know, again, respect the box, I respect the opinion. So I'm not going with LC as my Jabron of the Cench. I'm going to go with Audrina.
Jabroni!
Again, not for any particular moment, but mostly because I felt like she dragged the whole show. All her storylines were... you take her out of the show, nothing's different. Like, she added nothing to the show but just another person. Just adding nothing to season one, which is fine, and I'm excited to see more from her, but in terms of, we didn't get a ton of characters for season one, and you know, she was basically closer to people we didn't see and than the people we did. So, you know, we got a lot of fire from Jordan, Heidi, Elsie, and Jason, and we got a little bit of, you know, humor out of Brian, and I mean, even who's the homeless guy? Gary? Mary?
Danny?
Danny? Dan the man. Even Dan the man, I think, contributed more in I don't know, 8 minutes we saw him than Audrina did the entire season. So for that reason, she is my Jabroni of the Cench. Let us know if you agree with our picks at Coming Clean Pod, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Let us know. Okay, before we close this season out, let's talk about what you thought was the most memorable moment of this season. One particular scene that will stick out to you as sort of the defining moment of the season?
I think it is, for me personally, I think it's going to be in season one, not one. Is it episode one when they're at the party and Heidi comes in?
Yep, that's episode one.
Yeah, so when they're at the pool party or she's trying to protect the benches,
mm-hmm.
I think that's a good representation of like what else he's trying to do with her life. He's trying to at least in the season, he's trying to juggle two things, her job and then her friends, and she ends up dropping the ball at that job, which then in our mind, she kind of drops the ball with her career at the end of the season. So, right. You know, throughout, she's trying to keep those two things afloat, kind of keep Lisa happy, but then she didn't really let her friends come in and take over her life. And it seems like she dropped that ball in the first episode and she basically kind of dropped the ball in the last.
All right. I don't want to say it's a bad sign for the season when the most memorable thing happened on the first episode, but
well, there's other moments for me, but I was trying to be poignant. If you really want a good one, it's
well, no, that's fine. Yeah. That's perfectly fine. Mine's gonna be New Year's. The whole countdown shtick there, the whole countdown gimmick that just happened. When Elsie and Jason get into a fight at the bar, and you know, she was expecting a New Year's kiss, but you know, they ended up arguing and they were running down, and Jason, you know, ends up chasing her in traffic in a limo, which is not the best idea, but they end up, you know, making it right before midnight for that New Year's kiss. And I'm going to say that was memorable for me because I think that's a good microcosm for their entire relationship, where it seems like they are willing to go through a whole lot of crap just to get one moment. Yeah. Which is not the healthiest thing.
Moment like this. No, some people wait a lifetime.
They waited 5 minutes because, you know, they drove. It was like 11:51 when it all went down. But yeah, so that was my moment. Again, let us know yours. Join the conversation at Coming Clean Pod on all the social media. Send us clips if you can find them. No copyright. You know, we'll respond as always, and maybe we'll feature some on the show. So let's stick a fork in this season. What are your final thoughts, season one?
I think it was a good season. I think there could have been a little more drama involved with Jason. They could have stepped up their game with a couple more fights. But on the whole, I thought it was good. It's going to be interesting to see where season two starts and ends, just from knowing, I mean, being in the future, to see how that kind of pans out, what we're going to get. I'm excited for that, and hopefully Elsie kind of figures out her career.
All right. And mine is, I need, Heidi was not a good, in the role, she was not a good best friend to Lo, or not to Lo, to Elsie, because Heidi is very much a main character and should not have been playing off of Elsie so much, because she could hold her own, which is where we're going eventually. But Elsie does need like someone like Lo to be like her support system in the whole thing. And I don't think Heidi was it, because she had her own thing going, which was arguably more entertaining than what Elsie was going through. So
good point.
So that's my final take on that one. So that's a wrap for season one. Trivia continues next week. We're just going to carry over the scores because we lost count on who's going when. But I have the lead 16-15.
It's going to be a mega season two with all of these scores.
Yes. So here we go. Shouts to someone. I don't know. I forget. Let's just jump to the recommendations then, because we're running out of time and our producer's yelling at us. Recommendation.
I have two recommendations.
Ooh.
One is the actual recommendation. The second one I just want to bring up and talk about.
Okay. Gangland.
My first recommendation is HelloFresh. It's similar to Blue Apron. I think they're about the same price, but I recently been doing the vegetarian meals, and it's enough when you get two servings. It's enough for a breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and the food is actually unbelievable. Really easy to make. Only takes about like usually 35 minutes to cook and prepare. All fresh ingredients, and it brings a new perspective to cooking, something that you would probably not do on a daily basis.
I'm going to disagree with that one because I have a beef with HelloFresh.
Okay.
Because I interviewed there a while back, and I wrote out a marketing plan. They didn't hire me.
But they took your marketing plan.
But the marketing that I'm seeing right now looks very familiar. I'm not saying whether or not they did or did not do anything to the marketing plan that I wrote, but I'm just saying it smells as fishy as their food. But if you want to sponsor us, let us know. Because I pretty much wrote the sponsor plan anyway.
Oh, good.
All right, what was the other thing you wanted to talk about?
About this new meme that I just found out about is a monkey haircut meme.
Okay.
And it's basically a monkey getting a haircut, and then you juxtapose it over people like standing. So it looks like this other picture is cutting a monkey's hair, and it's amazing.
Oh, I just Googled it.
Yeah, if you have a chance, check it out.
All right. That might be my recommendation. Oh, that's hot off the presses, too. That was one day ago on knowyourmeme.com. So brand spanking new. I got to X out of
this. I'd recommend Know Your Meme. This looks like an amazing website.
Yeah, they have like history and everything. Shouts to Know Your Meme.
Oh, this is like my new favorite website now.
Yeah, they have everything. Like everything all the way back to like Scumbag Jeff.
Armageddon.
Yeah, yep, they got them. They got like the original, where they originated from, all that stuff. I am going to recommend, and I recommended this before, like a couple months ago, but I'm going to recommend it again because it's back as of the airing of this episode. Nathan For You is back on Comedy Central. What I'm going to say is the funniest, best comedy on television in the past 4 years, not counting It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, like those two shows. But Nathan For You, the best pseudo-reality comedy show of all time on Comedy Central Thursday nights. So go check that out. Season 4. All right. Season 1 for The Hills is over. How about that? We've
made it.
We made it. And, you know, we're going to keep on going. Once again, reminder, Monday, the finale of our reaction podcast to Siesta Key. And, you know, we're going to just keep going. Friday next week, same time, same place. It's season 2 of The Hills. So, a lot to look forward to. But we're going back to once a week, getting some of our life back. But a lot of our life is dedicated to being on social media. So, Sam, how can they find us?
All right, you can find us at Coming Clean Pod on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Check out our website at www.comingcleanpod.xyz. Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/comingcleanpod. Send us emails at coming.clean.pod@gmail.com. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcast. And when you're subscribing, don't forget to like, comment, and click that subscribe button because it really helps. And leave tell all your friends about, yeah, leave a review, anything. We'll take any criticism, good, bad, preferably good. And just tell all your friends about us.
Yep.
And get everybody talking.
Yeah, and let us know if you want to see something new, maybe some new segments, maybe some segments that we had back in when we were talking about Laguna that you want back. You know, anything you want to hear, we are open to suggestions to make the show better. This is as much your show as it is ours. So let us know. Reach out to where everywhere Sam just told you to. So that's it. Season 1, that's a wrap. Heading to season 2 next week. As always, thank you very much to our good friends, Radical Something, for our theme song, Cali Get Down. Sam one last time for season one. What do the good people always have to do?
You got to rep the red.
Worldwide peace. We'll see you Monday. We'll also see you Friday. And have a good weekend. Peace.